Let's return to This Week in America. Here's your host, Rick Bratton.
Welcome back, everybody. Coast to Coast, This Week in America. We all know that random acts of kindness are selfless acts performed by kind people to either help or cheer up a random stranger for no reason other than to make people happier. Random acts of kindness can also help our friends and family as well as ourselves. This is our uplifting topic today with our guest, holistic health expert Susan Smith-Jones, Ph.D. Susan travels the world giving motivational talks and doing radio and TV talk shows about all aspects of vibrant health and balanced living, and one of our most popular topics these days is about the importance of kindness. Susan writes in her book, Wired for High-Level Wellness, it seems that kindness is steadily fading from modern society. The lack of generosity and friendliness that is evident today is shocking. It's important to realize the positivity that kindness can produce in our lives, and I certainly agree. Welcome back to the program, Dr. Susan Smith-Jones. Dr. Susan, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much. And, you know, we haven't talked about this particular topic in years and years, you and I. And if you just look around each day now, you see that people are overwhelmed and less compassionate. They're burning the candle at both ends. You look at what's happening in our government and trying to keep up with the Joneses and debt, and you living in a spin cycle lifestyle. And so this topic, I want to make it as practical as possible to teach people that kindness can make a profound difference in your life when you live a little bit more by the golden rule.
You know, it's interesting when you think about it, it's probably just as important as diet, as sleep, and our overall health. And you talk about in your book, Wired for High-Level Wellness, you talk about how our brains actually thrive on kindness. Talk about that concept a little bit, if you would, please.
Yes, yes. So our acts of kindness, they really can be a light in the world that it seems to be so much more hostile these days, these last few years. And when we show an act of kindness, it gives hope, it gives a new perspective, and it's a win-win. And if you look at what happens in the brain by a loving act of kindness, our neurological reward systems show similar activity. When we win money, and when that same money goes to a charity of our choice, in other words, when we give, our brain looks like we're gaining something, and the pleasure we feel makes us more likely to give in the future. There have been lots of studies done on this, but there was one done at the University of British Columbia, and it found that people that were given $50, if they spent it on others, they were happier at the end of the day than people who spent it on themselves. And they even found that the same went for a work bonus of a few thousand dollars, that even though people said beforehand that they'd rather spend the money on themselves, they found in the study that people were happier when they buy things for other people rather than on themselves. In other words, when we spend money on gifts or donations, we're going to be happier people.
With us on the program is Dr. Susan Smith-Jones. We're talking about the health benefits of kindness. You'll find more at Dr. Susan's website, which is susansmithjones.com. You can link on by going to our website, thisweekinamerica.us. That's interesting. Now, would that same principle apply when we're helping others as it does when we're giving or spending money on others? If we're helping others, do we get that same feeling?
Yeah, now that is an interesting question, and they've done a lot of studies on this, and it might seem easier to spend money on others than to spend time on them.
Yes.
But it turns out that both forms of kindness make us happier. There was a study done on more than 3,000 people, and they found that 95% of people feel good when they help someone. 53% of people feel happier and more optimistic, and those feelings last for hours and even days in 81% of the people. And it's a phenomenon that's called the helper's high. There was a study in 2001, and it found that volunteering increases happiness, life satisfaction, self-esteem, and a sense of control over life. And they also showed that it worked for young people and old people alike. because black inner-city teens who tutor younger children have more positive attitudes about themselves, their education, and their future, and elderly people who volunteer are more satisfied with life.
You know, that's amazing. You're helping yourself. You're helping other people. Dr. Susan Smith-Jones, our guest on the program, the author of many books, including Shoes to Thrive, The Curative Kitchen and Lifestyle, Invest in Yourself with Exercise. Two more recent ones, which cover the topics we're talking about on the show today, Wired for High-Level Wellness and Be the Change. If you go to our website, SusanSmithJones.com, you can find out how to get personally autographed copies of her book and more about Susan. You'll find a lot of information, a lot of great information there, and you can link on by going to our website as well, thisweekinamerica.us. Let me ask what I sort of alluded to in the beginning, talking about this really should be a part of our overall health as we're trying to feel better. We're worried about sleep. We're worried about diet. We're worried about exercise. Are there health benefits of showing kindness?
So many health benefits. Studies show that kindness strengthens our immune system. It helps reduce aches and pains. It improves our cardiovascular profile. It boosts energy and strength in elderly people. And in fact, in another study, another one done at Harvard, most loving and kind couples were shown to have the lowest levels of atherosclerosis. That's the clogging up of the arteries. So it really behooves you to be kind to other people. And by the way, in a blog I posted today for all of your listeners, it's all about acts of kindness and simple thing, much more than I have time to talk about today, things that we can do to show kindness and to really benefit our health.
It's amazing. So many are just little things. For example, I'm thinking probably even making eye contact to somebody and saying good morning is an act of kindness that probably catches a lot of people off guard in the society that we're living in now.
Yeah, it can be so little and yet be so profound. This happened a few weeks ago. I was in Brentwood where I live, and I was doing errands, and I was parked, you know, by a meter. And I saw somebody from inside where I was waiting to pick up something put a note on my car. I didn't go out, you know, I didn't want to lose my spot in line. And then I went out, and the person had left. It was a woman. And I read the note, and she said, "I saw you go into the shop, and I read your book, Choose to Thrive, and it made a profound difference in my life. And I'm too embarrassed to tell you in person, so I'm putting it in a handwritten note. If I could only, and I came out, I looked everywhere for her, couldn't find her. I would have given her a huge hug and told her I would never throw away that note, that it just made my year."
Isn't that amazing?
That was so sweet, that act of kindness. I only wish I could have met the person.
And it only took a little bit of time, and the importance it made in your life, the significance is just amazing. When you exercise, you get more benefit if you exercise on a regular basis. How often should we be volunteering? You know, for many, it's like, well, I'll do something around the holidays. But I'm thinking to get the real benefit, this should be ongoing, shouldn't it?
Yeah, exactly. There's a study by Alan Lukes, L-U-K-S, and he's famous for researching the helper's high, and he found that weekly volunteering makes you 10 times more likely to experience all those health benefits we talked about than an annual volunteering. And then he looked at people between 64 and 68, and another study, and found that the greatest health benefits from volunteering is about 2 to 4 hours a week, but little benefit from any time beyond that. Another study at Harvard showed that participants who even witnessed kindness, they showed them a 50-minute video of the work of Mother Teresa, and that elevated the levels of their salivary immunoglobulin A, which protects us from pathogens in food. So it's not just doing it yourself, volunteering, helping out, but it's watching an act of kindness.
Susan Smith-Jones, our guest on the program, talking about the health benefits of kindness. Her website is SusanSmithJones.com. Does kindness performing acts of kindness have a positive impact and effect on reducing depression. Is there any connection?
Oh, absolutely. Over the last 15 years, so many studies have shown the connection between altruism, kindness, volunteering, and less depression. And for volunteers, this is the case. As long as they don't go overboard and overburden themselves by maybe giving way too much and too often, being unkind to ourselves via like low self-compassion is also connected to depression and low psychological well-being. But oddly enough, though, let's just say the studies show that those of us who might be struggling we're going to be the best candidates for kindness, because people who might be fighting disease, chronic pain, emotional trauma, studies show that kindness can help them cope better and combat negative emotions. Let's talk about alcoholism for a moment. In 2002, there was a Brown University study found that alcoholics who help other alcoholics have a 40% sober rate the next year, compared to 22% among alcoholics who didn't help other people. So it definitely can benefit depression, acts of kindness.
Talk about the importance of self-kindness. And I ask that because you address that in the book, Be the Change. If you're kind to other people and you see positive impact on your life, you're feeling better because you are kind to other people. What does that do for self-kindness? Explain that concept.
Yeah, self-kindness is equally important for all kinds of coping. If we're ill or feel troubled, you know, it's really easy to blame ourselves and think of all the things we could have done better or everything that's wrong with us, all the opportunities we missed. But self-kindness is a way to find some peace and acceptance and to care for ourselves the way we would probably care for a loved one in the same situation. When self-critical people fail, the critical people, their brains go to a problem solving mode, and they feel more negative, and then they try to avoid this reality in the future and have a hard time coping. When self-compassionate people fail, studies show that their brains go to more positive emotions and that their compassion is more activated, and they tend to be more positive and accepting. So if you force self-compassionate people to list the very worst things that have ever happened to them, they tend to comfort themselves and say something like, everyone's gone through a similar experience, while self-critical people feel negative and worse off than others. So what's the bottom line for this part is that trauma always represents an opportunity. What do we do, Rick? Do we beat ourselves down even further, or do we give ourselves the care and comfort we so desperately need? You know, if we choose the former, we're not going to have a happy life. If we choose to be more comforting and compassionate towards ourselves, we create a much more joyful life. I love Aldous Huxley. Here's a quote of his. People often ask me the most effective technique for transforming their life. What is it? He said, it's a little embarrassing that after years and years of research and experimentation, I have to say that the best answer is just to be a little bit kinder. And Mahatma Gandhi said, the pure loving kindness of one gentle soul could nullify the hatred of millions. It's time for all of us to be more tenderhearted and to show kindness to everyone.
And it cost us nothing to do that. I'd like to talk about some of your suggestions to show kindness to others. It's so simple, and you can lay out some of the ways that we can do that. I'm going to take a break here now in the program. Our guest is Dr. Susan Smith-Jones. Health Benefits of Kindness is our topic. She's going to give you some suggestions to show kindness to others when we come back on today's program right after these messages. Welcome back, everybody. Susan Smith-Jones, our guest on the program today, talking about the health benefits of kindness. And I ask you to put together maybe a mental list that we could go through here after coming back from the break. Suggestions to show kindness to other people. Talk about some of the ways that, that we can actually show kindness.
All right. And by the way, I want to suggest that everybody listening start today and make it a point for 1 month, for 30 days, that's not very long, to show other people kindness and yourself and see how much better you will feel. That's our challenge for everyone. So you often see, Rick, you see lists like this, what can I do to show kindness to others? And on these lists, you often see open the door for others, say hello to a stranger, yes, hug a loved one. But you know what? I think that these behaviors and acts should be considered common courtesy and generally nice behavior rather than something extraordinary. So instead, think of things that you can do that maybe take a little thought, time, or effort. For example, maybe you buy the coffee for the car behind you in a drive-thru lane. Maybe you go donate blood, or you hand out hats and gloves to people in need. Or maybe you pay the bill of another person's or a couple or a family or a single mom with harried children at a restaurant. Maybe you shovel the neighbor's driveway, or like that lady did for me, leave a kind note of, yes, inspiration on a stranger's car. Bring flowers to a nursing home. You know, the list can go on and on. Every single day we are presented with hundreds of opportunities to practice kindness and compassion towards our fellow humans. And I think it's incumbent upon each of us, because we all make a difference in the world, to find things that we can do. Rick, if you look around, you see that so many people are always rushing. And when you're always rushing around, you lose compassion for others. And I think we're living on a fast track these days. We're talking fast, eating fast, moving fast, and what a difference from 50 years ago. You know, this year, you'll probably do more with appointments, people to meet, places to go, than your grandparents did in their entire lives. And I call it a sickness of epidemic proportions called busyness or hurriness sickness, because it drains compassion from our hearts, according to all the studies.
Well, it's interesting you mentioned compassion. Talk about that now. I'm interested in finding out practical ways that we can make compassion that you just talked about more of a default position in our daily lives, because for most of us, that's not the case now. What would you suggest? Is it possible to do, and what suggestions would you have?
So I'm going to rattle through some of these quickly, but also say that, remember, in the blog I posted today, I've got all of these in detail. Things that you can do in your own life to guarantee you'll be more a compassionate person is you've got to get sleep. Getting only 6 hours of sleep nightly or less makes you more stressed and depressed and impatient. It increases your blood pressure, makes you more irritable. And it's hard to feel compassionate when you're just trying to get through the day with a short fuse and not enough time to accomplish all you need to do. So get ample sleep. I always say every day, take time to pray and meditate and breathe deeply. Studies show that practicing meditation and spending a few minutes in prayer each day changes the brain waves in your beautiful brain in a positive way. It makes you feel calmer, less anxious, and more compassionate. Your diet affects your mood, and if you don't believe this, try eating a better diet. When you eat foods constantly made with white sugar, white flour, artificial flavorings, colorings, and preservatives, it absolutely affects your mood. The more you switch to a natural diet, as close to the way nature made the foods as possible, and even emphasize more raw foods, you become a calmer, more compassionate, and kinder person. Exercise. You know that Latin aphorism, a sound mind and a sound body. Well, studies show that when you get out there and do some aerobic exercise like walking, there was a 4-year study done on 200 people in England and showed that just 10 minutes of an aerobic exercise three times a week doubled the level of a chemical in your body called norepinephrine. And Dr. Malcolm Carruthers, who headed this study, said he thinks it's the key to happiness. And if you can get outdoors in nature to work out, then you'll even be happier than working out in a gym. You can view images of nature, but it's the best to get out into nature. I think there's a disease, or at least I talk about this. I haven't heard anyone else. I call it MDD, nature deficit disorder. When you have a choice, exercise outdoors, and it will make you a happier person. It's like it's cost-free. It's visual volume. It gives you a great experience. And so as my grandmother used to say, honey, Sunny was my nickname. She'd say, Sunny, go out and play and pray and take your shoes and socks off and walk barefoot on our earth.
Well, there's a lot of sense to that. If we take care of ourselves, we can take care of other people and be more compassionate, which is what we were talking about. I got about 2 minutes left in the program, Health Benefits of Kindness with Dr. Susan Smith-Jones. In about 2 minutes, can you sort of summarize the importance of kindness, add in anything extra we might not have touched upon during the course of the program today?
Yes. I mean, there's so much more, so make sure you look at the blog posted today. When you show acts of kindness, it improves your health, it decreases stress, it helps release a hormone in your body called oxytocin, and that reduces stress, decreases blood pressure, improves your cardiovascular system. When you show kindness, it reduces depression. There was a Harvard study done in 2010 that looked at a survey of happiness in 136 countries and found that the people who were altruistic were the happiest overall. It helps you concentrate better. It helps you feel better. So you've got to practice this. Matthew 7:12 is really the golden rule. It's treating others the way you wish to be treated. William Penn described well an act of kindness when he said, if there's any kindness I can show, any good thing I can do to my fellow being, let me do it now and not deter or neglect it, as I shall not pass this way again. And the Dalai Lama said, world peace must begin from inner peace. Peace is not the absence of violence. Peace is, I think, the manifestation of human compassion. And it's up to us to live that way.
You know, and it's not all that complicated, is it? As you're going through this entire list, as we talked about in the program today, it's just things that we could do and incorporate into our daily lives, helping us and help other people. And you'll find all of this at Dr. Susan's website. And allow some time, because you'll find a lot of great information there at SusanSmithJones.com, talking about on today's program, Health Benefits of Kindness. Dr. Susan, as always, a pleasure having you with us on the program. Great information. Thank you for sharing. It's been a pleasure having you on the program, and I hope you come back and we can do this again.
Thank you. I look forward to next time.
Susan Smith-Jones, our guest on the program. Information on our website, SusanSmithJones.com. Topic today, Health Benefits of Kindness. You'll find more information in several of her books, Wired for High-Level Wellness and Be the Change. And, of course, you can link on to Dr. Susan's website by going to our website, thisweekinamerica.us. Back on today's program after these messages.
You're listening to This Week in America with Rick Bratton. More after this.